from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We've established an audio medium where people are scared to talk.
Let's all give Nick Saban 3 fingers.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too.
Sergey Bobomka.
Ground beef.
Mark Hockman.
That's my top category on new porn. McRib dunking.
So was Argentina close to Germany?
Meow.
Channing Crowder.
I set my house on fire at 8 years old. That's why I got the butt foot.
I know how to barbecue. I like my coals hot.
You set yourself up as an idiot, you can be an idiot.
Alejandro Solana.
Hawk, when you mispronounce something, that is better than sex for me.
Sports.
If I say a duck can pull a truck, hug him up.
To what?
To the truck.
Shout out to String Cheese.
I love it when you call me Big Papa. Throw your hands up in the air if you're a true player.
More sports.
Man, you 40 years old, Jimmy. Put your meat on the table.
Let them know
where mama at.
Boston, we're coming for that ass.
The most sports.
Who's bigger, Taylor Swift or Pusha T?
The Hawkman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
Ah, love me some Beastie Boys on a Thursday at 2:04 p.m. Appel. In with Dan Day and Jimmy for Hawk, Crowder, and Solana. Everybody will be back on Monday. We have a lot to get to today, but not a lot to get to today, if that makes sense. As you know, if you've been listening to the show for the whole week, you know that Solana was in Dallas Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday getting a ton of content. And guess what we're going to do today? We're going to play that content. We've got Eric Palms, the CEO of the Orange Bowl Committee, Kirby Smart, the head coach, and national champion, multi-time national champion at different levels, most recently with Georgia, currently the head coach of Georgia, now the, I would say, the king of the SEC with Nick Saban retiring. Chet Holmgren made some interesting comments on a podcast yesterday. We'll get to that at some point today. Andrea Adelson, college football reporter from ESPN. Solana's conversation with her will play later on in the show. He also spoke to a couple of St. Thomas Aquinas products, Mason Taylor. You may recognize the last name and the first name, Jason Taylor's son. He's a tight end at LSU. We'll talk to him. And Gunnar Hansen, who plays at Vanderbilt now, he's also an SCA alum. We'll play that later on in the show. Roman Harper, Benjamin Watson, both Super Bowl champions, both analysts at SEC Network. We'll hear from them and their conversations with Solana later in the show as well. We may have another guest at some point, unconfirmed, so I don't want to promote that we will have that guest or drop a name as to not disappoint everybody. I'm sure it's already disappointing enough that I'm the voice they hear today and only me. Of course, Dan Day and Jimmy are here, but they're regulars. But I want to start here because if you listened when I was on the show earlier this week, you know that I've been doing nothing besides playing NCAA Football 25. Nothing. And I realize that in talking about this, it's along the same wavelengths of someone talking about their fantasy football team and how their fantasy football team is doing, what their draft was like, what trades they make. Because at the end of the day, as much as we love talking about our fantasy football teams, nobody outside of our league or even then really gives two bleeps about someone else's fantasy football team, regardless of how much we talk about it. But I'm going to do the equivalent of that with this video game that I haven't played in more than 10 years. I also want to get to, before we continue with that, Matthew Tkachuk's having his day with the cup today. Bill Zito, Will Wito, and Anthony Stolarz already had theirs. And I want to get to what Jimmy and Dan Day would do if they had their own day with the cup. That'll come at some point. And Hard Knocks. Have you guys been watching Hard Knocks? This off-season version with the Giants? Jimmy, Dan Day?
No, I don't own a TV, so that's going to be really hard
to
do.
That's right.
No, that's I'm not really interested in the team they have on, unless it's the Dolphins. Yeah.
I just like the off-season transaction type things that you don't normally get a glimpse into. You only get it's a different perspective, and I kind of like it. And honestly, I was talking with a friend of mine. It might have saved Hard Knocks. But back to NCAA 25. We'll get to Hard Knocks
later. Okay, I like the production value of Hard Knocks. No matter what team it is, I like the story.
Oh, they always do a phenomenal job.
Yeah, it's great.
But like the in season, I shouldn't say the in season. They've only done three seasons of it, but the preseason one that we're accustomed to, it had kind of gotten stale. And I like the two new takes on Hard Knocks, the off-season version and, of course, the in-season version. But NCAA Football 25, I wish you guys played this game. 10 years without it. It was a really long time. And I've started a dynasty. I'll just say it. With USF.
I'm worried about that game with Miami this year. I'm not going to lie.
Listen, Miami beat me in this game.
I'm more worried about the real-life game. The real-life game.
Well, I mean, it's indicative of what might actually happen in real life. No? You're shaking your head no? You don't think
I'm thinking they got to go across the state, and I'm sure you're going to be there, correct, at the game?
I think I have a Marlins conflict that weekend.
Oh, okay.
And if not, hopefully I'll be doing some NFL stuff. But I'm surprised you guys, you guys have no interest in playing this massively popular game that still has the EA Sports servers down. I know, Dan, you don't have a TV, but you might have to make an exception for this.
Everywhere I go, people are stopping me and asking me and talking about their team and their dynasty and coaching and playing. And I mean, we're talking about grown-ass men, like 40s and 50-year-old, like buying PS5 simply so they can download and play this game. It's crazy.
I haven't played this game since Larry Fitzgerald was on the cover.
Wow. What a great call. What was that, like 06 maybe?
Yeah, on the PS2.
We've come a long way. I'll tell you that much. We've come a really long way. I had a Heisman candidate. I've been building this up. You got to recruit and do all of that. It's kind of confusing, though. I thought it would be a little like there's like options to like direct message recruits, and you don't actually get to like pick what you say to them. It's just kind of like a generic option. And so that kind of takes some of the fun out of it. I'm not sure how long I'll stick with the recruiting part of it. And I'll tell you the other thing. If I have a couple of critiques of the game, this is so boring that I'm opening the show with. I mean, hey, it's really hard to kick field goals in NCAA 25.
Okay, really I'm really thinking this is becoming a full-time job for you. Is it a video game or is it a job?
It's both. I was up till 1:30 in the morning.
I bet. DMing 16-year-olds.
Listen, maybe sometimes 17-year-olds. Or transfer portal. There's a transfer portal in this game. You have to try and convince kids to stay at your school. It is immersive. It is awesome. It really is. And if you haven't played it and you're listening to this, the full version comes out Friday. If you pre-ordered it, you can play it right now. But it has been an absolute joy to go back in time a little bit. Again, 2014 was the last time that game was made available to the public, and I've done nothing but play the video game. In fact, during the last show on Tuesday that I was on with Solana, during the commercial breaks, that's all I was doing, building up my dynasty. USF made it to the college football playoff, won the American, upset Ohio State, and unfortunately lost in the Cotton Bowl to Oregon. I turned down a bunch of jobs that I could have taken at other schools, so we're trying to run it back at USF. We made a promise to those kids.
What were some of the other schools that you were offered?
West Virginia, Virginia, Louisville. You know, I didn't feel it. It didn't feel right. Didn't feel like the right job to leave a college football playoff lock like USF in this game.
The Bulls.
I wasn't playing on rookie mode. Don't worry either. I don't think it's called rookie mode, but I wasn't playing on the easiest one.
Okay.
Like I said, we got a lot to get to today. I want to get to those Chet Holmgren comments soon. Matthew Tkachuk has his day with the cup today. You can see all those pictures all over social media. It is still surreal to me that we are talking about Florida Panthers having their day with the Stanley Cup. That still really hasn't registered with me.
Yeah, I mean, you are a true fan, first of all, Pell. You always talked about the Panthers, and you went not once, but twice to the elbow room the day after they won the cup.
Yeah, it was the first two times I'd ever been there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had never been to the elbow room before the Panthers won the Stanley Cup. And two of the most memorable days of my life, that night they won the cup and the morning after getting to even be around in the vicinity of the cup, let alone touch it. I might be able to spend a little time with it down here when certain people have access to it. I'm sure there might be a time where I'm not sure. I shouldn't say I'm sure, but I would imagine somebody who has the cup down here might do a public event somewhere down in South Florida with the cup, because I know a lot of the guys who take it back to their hometowns do similar things over the course of their day with it. But we're going to have Eric Palms, the CEO of the Orange Bowl Committee, join us. Well, not join us. He joined Solana in Dallas, and we'll replay the interview for you in the next segment. But for now, let's get our headlines with Dan Day.
And these headlines are brought to you by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Super Center. Why buy your truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford, we know trucks. Let's get things started first with this golf leaderboard update from the Open Championship, brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf Shops. Get there. Atop the leaderboard, Shane Lowry. He is 4 under, total 51. He is ahead of Justin Thomas, who is 3 under, and Daniel Brown, who is also 3 under.
I'll probably tune into that in a couple days.
Yeah.
Once the tournament gets going a little bit. I saw Bryson had a terrible first round.
Talking
noise. Where's Tiger on the leaderboard? Tiger's playing in this, right?
Where's Tiger on the leaderboard? And I would have to keep scrolling and searching. I don't even know if he's even taken his first shot yet. Some of these guys. It's a tough tournament, that's for sure. So
I got you. I got him right here. Hold on. At least I had it for a second. He's tied for 124th, over through 50.
I just wanted to win one more major and then just, you know, call it a day. One more major. Be so excited.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Just one more. No Messi, no problem again for Inter Miami. Federico Redondo had a brace as the Herons defeated Toronto FC 3-1. They host the Chicago Fire Saturday at 7:30. Messi is out indefinitely with that grapefruit ankle.
I was going to say, it probably still looks like that. I saw that there was a picture on social media that he put up of him eating lunch with his son, and his son on his plate had plain pasta with like hot dog or sausage, just like dried mixed in with the pasta. Did not look very appetizing, but he's also a kid. And I also have the palate of probably someone that age, so I can't really hate on it. In fact, I might eat that for dinner tonight.
Hot dog and pasta. And
hot dog or sausage cut up in the middle of it, dry.
Wow. That's interesting. That's an interesting meal right there.
I don't think it's that interesting. Man.
Happy birthday to Bam Adebayo. He is 27. Of course, he's not participating in the Las Vegas Summer League, but the Heat will face Toronto tomorrow night at 9.
I was introduced to, as I'm sure a lot of you were last night, Alondis Williams. Am I saying that correctly? Mm-hmm. That posterized dunk that he had. And that's as good as Summer League gets. And not as it pertains to Summer League, but not the Heat. Our favorite player, Bronny James. I love this. I love this headline. Lakers Bronny James scores 12 as shots fall in Summer League win. I love that headline. Guy was 5 of 11, made 2 of 5 from 3, and it's, of course, because the bar has been set so low, that's a huge front page story on ESPN.com today.
Yeah, I saw Bronny has his best summer league game yet. And I was like, oh, 12 points. Nine in the first half, though. They were like, they're really, really hyping it up.
So, hey, listen, if that, it's hard to get worse. Let's put it that way. It's nice to see him have a little bit of success.
Yeah. I know you're going to be excited about these next two headlines, but first, Matthew Tkachuk's mouth guard will be displayed in the NHL Hall of Fame as part of the display for the Panthers winning the Stanley Cup.
As it should be.
That's awesome.
That thing is iconic.
Yeah, it is.
I think he's got to go through multiple. I think he's talked about how many he goes through over the course of a season, over the course of a game. Yeah. It's probably just a comfort thing, because that thing, obviously, the way that he chews on it is not doing any kind of protection for his teeth.
Never in his mouth.
Never.
The worst was Raja.
Sometimes thrown up against the boards by, I believe it was Chris Kreider from the Rangers, who took it and chucked it almost out of the ring.
Yeah. Oh, man. The worst was Rajon Rondo when he'd shoot free throws. Remember, he would just drop his mouth guard into his jersey. Like, it would be against his body, and then he'd put it back in his mouth. Like, dude.
Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting.
How sanitary is that? Ugh.
It's not. That's the answer.
Marlins resume play tomorrow in New York against the Mets. First pitch going to be at 7:10. Of course, rumors still fly around about Jazz Chisholm and some of the other Marlins being traded before the deadline at the end of the month.
How about Tanner Scott getting into the All-Star game? Faced two hitters, retired both hitters. Mm. He is one of the hot names likely to be traded at the trade deadline coming up in a couple weeks. I'm interested to see how the Jazz situation pans out. Obviously, they're playing him a bit more at second base. That market for that position is very light on the trade market, so maybe the Marlins trying to add to his trade value. I'm not sure if that's something that happens at the deadline or something that happens in the offseason. I have no information on that. Jazz is an electric player. He's been healthy this year. He's having a really good year. Maybe the Marlins can get a good bid for him, or they keep him. I'm hoping they keep him, but if they decide to make the move, I certainly understand that.
And I mean this with all seriousness, and you've watched more Marlins than I have, although I keep an eye on them. The bullpen this year has been the bright spot of this team. They've been almost lights out.
Which is interesting, because at the beginning of the season, that was not the case.
Right.
Part of that was because their starters couldn't go deep into games. Starters still don't go that deep into games, but you look at AJ Puck's number since he went back to the bullpen. Tanner Scott's been the best reliever in baseball, one of the best closers, if not the best closer in baseball. They've got a lot of pieces in that bullpen that might bring back some value. I don't think anybody ever doubted the abilities of Mel Stottlemyre Jr. in handling a pitching staff and getting guys to perform at their maximum ability, whether it's in the bullpen or in the rotation. So I'm not surprised that guys who are under his tutelage are having some success this year.
I got to give AJ Puck credit, because in his last 10 appearances, just giving up 3 hits, 0 runs. That is quite good.
There are a lot of intriguing names on this roster heading into the trade deadline that might be able to bring back some pretty decent value.
Did you see the video of Jalen Phillips? He's working out barefooted, doing agility drills. It's been 8 months since he tore his Achilles. Looking strong, looking good.
Yeah, it makes me feel really bad about myself.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know he's a professional athlete and I'm just a guy, but it made me really feel horrific about myself. That guy's muscles have muscles.
That's unbelievable. Like, how do you get in that good of shape? I try to work out every day.
Some people are just built different.
Yeah.
And he seems to be one of those people. And obviously it's a great sign that he looks as agile as he does this soon after that injury. It seems like he's on track to be ready for the season. I believe training camp starts a week from today.
It's the 24th. So
a week from yesterday.
Yesterday, yep.
I'd like for Tua Tagovailoa to sign a contract. there are rumors that Jordan Love is the next guy. And because we are in this no man's land of sports right now with nothing going on, it is prime ranking season. We did head coaching tiers and rankings earlier this week. And I want to get to Will Brinson's tiers of quarterbacks from CBSSports.com. And also ESPN put out a ranking of the top 10 and honorable mentions, surveying executives, coaches, scouts throughout the NFL. So I want to get to that at some point. And I would love for the Dolphins to have their quarterback signed before they report to camp next week.
Well, Teron Armstead, he was talking with Joy Adams. And when you talk to Joy Adams, I listen. and watch. He says the team needs Tua to achieve their goals this season, and he will get paid.
I don't think it's a question of will he. It's just when.
Yeah.
And I would hope that both sides kind of see that this needs to end here pretty soon. These things always get ironed out, though, right? Like, I don't think there's any real animosity between Tua and the Dolphins. All public indications are these are just regular negotiations that go on in a spot like this. But I feel like it's such, and we've talked about this plenty when I filled in, it's such a unique situation because you have like diametric opposites of what in the last 2 years you can expect from Tua health-wise, right? So he obviously has the couple of concussions 2 years ago. When he was healthy, he was still producing. Last year, stays healthy the whole season. Top passer in the NFL. Obviously kind of fizzled out at the end. Terrible circumstances in Kansas City. They still haven't won a playoff game with him as their quarterback, but there obviously aren't better options out there.
No.
Right?
No, there's no better option.
He has realistically shown to be such a phenomenal fit in Mike McDaniel's offense. Those two seem to have a great relationship with each other and understand what each other wants out of this offense. He has a great rapport with Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. And he is the face of the franchise. That's a guy you keep around. And I was a little surprised by how low he was on some of these rankings, but I feel like because that elusive, quote-unquote, huge win isn't there yet, he still gets lumped in with we're still kind of unsure. But I think what also has added to this kind of uncertainty and kind of made the noise a little louder around these negotiations, you know, Trevor Lawrence getting an extension, Jared Goff getting an extension. They handed out the extension to Jalen Waddle. Well, not another quarterback on a different team. It's still a big money player
Kirk
on
Cousins,
this team.
Big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Kirk Cousins at his age coming off an Achilles injury, getting that kind of money. And like I said, Jordan Love rumored to be the next guy to get an extension.
I just, with the Jordan Love and CJ Stroud, I understand they had good seasons, but one season doesn't make you a top tier quarterback. Let's see you do it again.
No, and I'm with you on those two, but I think we saw enough from CJ Stroud and Jordan Love last year to know that they're both very good players. And I think the most impressive thing about what Jordan Love did last year is you look at that receiving core, and it's not like there are a bunch of big names that jump out at you. Like, he's doing it with guys who are solid players, but there isn't a Devontae Adams there anymore. And it's a bunch of young receivers on that offense, and Matt LaFleur has done a phenomenal job in making that offense as good as it was, and Jordan Love developing into a player over the course of last season that, you know, they feel comfortable with moving forward.
We'll see how it goes next season. I need to see more than one season. That's a little...
I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that, but the difference between Stroud and Love, obviously, is Stroud could play on his rookie deal for another year or two.
Mm-hmm.
Love has already sat
for two,
has already played
3 years, yeah,
and now he's getting into that time where it's time to extend him.
Yeah. On to weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7 at 866-954-MORE. Pretty much a carbon copy of the past 3 days here in South Florida. Some clouds, a lot of heat, and a chance of rain.
All right, so coming up in the next segment, Eric Palm, CEO of the Orange Bowl Committee, sat down with Solana in Dallas on SEC Media Days. We will play that for you next on Hawk and Crowder.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Cracker Barrel, their naming back in the day was terrible.
I actually like it.
Hawk and Crowder.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Welcome back to Hockman and Crowder. No Hawk, no Crowder, no Solana today. Dan Day, Jimmy in with me. It's Josh Appel. Solana has been in Dallas for the first part of this week, recorded a ton of interviews. We're going to hear a bunch of them today, and we're going to start with the man who was responsible, essentially, for sending Solana out to Dallas. Eric Palms, the CEO of the Orange Bowl Committee, sat down with Solana in Dallas at SEC Media Day.
Live at SEC Media Days. It's part of our Orange Bowl Media Tour presented by Duffy's Sports Grill. And this is exciting because I'm sitting across from somebody who I think I'm going to have a lot more in common with than most people listening would imagine. Eric Palms, he's the Chief Executive Officer of the Orange Bowl Committee. And it's funny because I've talked with you so many times on the phone, getting you ready to either go on with Joe Rose and Zach Krantz in the morning or Hurricane Hotline with Joe Zagacki. You've been on Hockman and Crowder as well before, but I've never had the pleasure to sit and chat with you. So this is exciting, Eric. Another year for the Orange Bowl, getting ready to host a playoff game, the semifinal of the college football playoff game, and another year of college football. What's better than that?
Yeah, it's exciting, and it's great being with you.
Yes, thank you.
We've talked for many, many years, and to be in front of you is an honor.
Thank you. Same for me, by the way. Same for me. Yeah.
We grew up in the same area.
We did.
Just a little bit older than you.
We did. So we're both Kendall guys. So how
Kendall
about that?
Guys.
Putting Kendall on the map. That's what I want to hear.
Yes.
You went to Killian. I grew up right around that area, went to Ida.
Yeah.
So... you know, maybe when we get back to Miami, we'll meet up at Killian Cafe.
Good spots around there, sure.
Yeah, Kendall's underrated, Eric. I got to tell you, people like to throw shade at Kendall, and I won't stand for it. Yeah. I won't stand for it.
Well, when I was growing up, you told me where you live, and that was about as west as you could get.
Right.
And now it's central Miami, you know, so it's really developed, and I had a great time growing up in that area and going to Killian, and... take great pride in that. So proud of you too.
Thank you. A lot of fun times at Don Carter's bowling alley. We could do this all day. I won't bore you with reminiscing. So again, the Chief Executive Officer of the Orange Bowl Committee. Everybody's talking about Eric, the newly expanded 12-team playoff. I mentioned, the Orange Bowl this year, the Capital One Orange Bowl, will be hosting the semifinal to the newly expanded playoff. That's got to be exciting for you guys. The first year, I'm sure everybody would have wanted to be hosting the big one, but that's coming soon, to be able to not only be a part of it, but have such an important game throughout this process has to be something you're all looking forward to.
We are. I mean, I've been at the Orange Bowl over 30 years now, so I've seen the evolution of postseason college football really in the modern era. It started with the Bowl Coalition back in the early 90s that graduated to the Bowl Alliance to the BCS and now the CFP era. And when the CFP started, which was 10 years ago, was the 4-team model, and we've enjoyed it. We had a national semifinal every 3 years, and this was actually going to be our next semifinal in the 4-team model, but we knew over the past couple of years there was a lot of momentum to expand the playoff, and we're just proud to have, you know, Miami and South Florida well-positioned as a national semifinal, national quarterfinal each and every year have one of those legs in the four-round playoff. So Miami will shine. Hard Rock Stadium will shine. We've been doing this. This is 91 years for us.
Yeah.
And when you have games of relevance, whether it's a national championship game to a semifinal, now a quarterfinal, there's so much excitement that comes with those fan bases into the local community. So it'll be great.
And I imagine 12-team expansion is also just a plus, right? Because whether or not you're hosting the semifinal or the college football national championship game, there's going to be ample opportunities to be on that big stage moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, we take great pride in our history. You know, it's the second oldest bowl game in the country, right after the Rose Bowl, and it's just a great tradition. There's nothing really in the South Florida marketplace that emulates what this event has meant to our community, and we're standing on the shoulders of so many generations that had this vision back in the early 30s, you know. But you have to be attuned to the times.
Right.
And college athletics is going through a transformative change. It's made its way to postseason college football. We're just so honored that the Capital One Orange Bowl would be in that position. It means so much economic development to the area. And by virtue of the success of the bowl game, we're able to do so much in the community to give back. And we just want to sustain this tradition. We're excited about it. Starting this year, you know, it's going to be a national semifinal on a Thursday night, and all eyes of America will be on Hard Rock Stadium.
You mentioned, you know, other parts of what the Orange Bowl committee has been able to do throughout South Florida. I wanted to talk about that because I know, you know, whether it's the Orange Bowl Food and Wine Festival, I believe the Orange Bowl Cares as well, giving back to the community, and everything that comes with it. And you talk about the longstanding tradition of the Orange Bowl. I believe that's the part not only you, but the rest of your committee is most proud of, the way that, you know, you've been able. I think you brought up Geno Smith last year, somebody who grew up two blocks away from Hard Rock Stadium and then broke Orange Bowl records, to be able to kind of see all of it continue to grow and then have that experience of somebody who literally grew up with goals of being in that game and then seeing it all come to fruition, I believe has to be very, very gratifying.
It is. I mean, it starts with your mission statement. For us, it's been about economic development from the very beginning, and we've had great success for 91 years in doing that, and that will continue. But to your point, you want to give back. You know, it's about celebrating your community in so many different ways. And, you know, we've evolved in our community outreach efforts, but that Orange Bowl Cares platform with the four pillars, which has to do with athletics and youth sports in particular, you get into education, you go into community engagement, and then you go to the legacy projects. And you just look around and you see how much you can touch people in all corners of the community. And as you gave the example, you know, we're very involved with youth football in cheerleading in the area. And to see a lot of these kids that are in that program go on and play at a high level, at the high school level, and then to move on into the college level. And sometimes they're in your game and you just sit there and say, this is what it really is it's about, celebrating your community and doing goodwill. So we're going to continue to do that. It's going to be an exciting time. It's going to be different. You know, it's going to be, you know, a leg in a four-round playoff. So it's going to be a lot of build-up into that semifinal game. We hope the excitement carries into that last leg of it. And remember, not this year, but the next year, we are bringing the CFP National Championship game to Miami, to South Florida. And it's going to be, you know, part of this expansion in a dramatic way.
It's a big year, 2026, because you have the World Cup coming to South Florida. And, you know, we talk about Hard Rock Stadium and, and the partnership that the Capital One Orange Bowl has with Hard Rock Stadium. But when you think of, you know, what it's become, I was talking with Roman Harper earlier. He won a Super Bowl in 2010.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be talking with Kirby Smart a little bit later. He worked in 2006.
Yeah.
And, you know, to think about what the stadium was back then, a good stadium to now what it's become. It's fascinating, right? Hosting Formula One and all the different events that it's hosting. But college football national title game is right up there with one of the best things that stadium can be hosting.
I mean, what Steve Ross, Tom Garfinkel have built with that venue is remarkable. Yeah. It really is. And we've been the beneficiary of that, as other entities such as the University of Miami, Miami Open, Formula One, Listen, you need to have a great stadium to bring in great events in any community. We're very fortunate to have Hard Rock Stadium, and it's going to be a huge year in 2026. I mean, not only do we have World Cup, but you offer the World Baseball Classic.
Right.
We have a quarterfinal on January 1, and literally 18 days later, we have the national championship game coming. So it speaks a lot about what Miami and South Florida mean to the sports world in America. And it's our focus, our intent to make sure we protect that and continue to grow in the years to come.
Helping put Miami on the map, the Orange Bowl committee. Yeah. If fans listening want to get involved outside from buying tickets to the Orange Bowl,
sure.
Is there a way for them to do that? Because I know you know, there's you talk about youth football and all the other measures that that you know the Orange Bowl committee has put in place to give back. Is there a way for you know fans listening that want to you know get involved to do that?
Yeah, there absolutely is. Listen, the way we present the Orange Bowl is nobody owns the Orange Bowl. It's the community that owns the Orange Bowl. It's different than most events because it's carried by, you know, the generation upon generation of community leaders and so forth. But anybody can get involved. I mean, from a corporate standpoint, there's tremendous opportunities to, you know, brand yourself, connect to everything the Orange Bowl does, not just the Capital One Orange Bowl game, but all the events we do. But in terms of the fans that want to volunteer, we have our Orange Bowl Ambassadors Program. We need a lot of manpower to pull off what we do each and every year. And it's not just during the bowl week. It's throughout the entire year with all the events that we do. So we'd encourage them. You go on our website. You can call our office. And we'll be happy to bring them aboard.
Awesome. Eric, thank you so much. Again, Eric Palms, Chief Executive Officer of the Orange Bowl Committee. From K-Town, from Kendall, just like me, we'll have to grab dinner at La Carreta on 88th one day.
There Eric, you go.
Eric, thank you so much.
Thank
appreciate
you so
the time.
Much.
And we'll talk in the future, I'm sure.
You got it.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, we'll take a break here again. SEC Media Days. It's part of our Capital One Orange Bowl Media Tour presented by Duffy Sports Grill. More coming up after this break on Hockman and Crowder.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
You smell that? You feel it?
What's that?
Hialeah.
Hawk and Crowder.
I know Jimmy normally picks the music for these shows. Is this Jimmy again picking the music?
It sure is.
Jimmy's on fire. On absolute fire right now. Before we get to Solana's conversation with Georgia head coach Kirby Smart, I don't think you'll ever hear a better interview with Kirby Smart than the one Solana did with him. Probably the most qualified person to ever interview Kirby Smart on the radio, I would argue. There is some NBA news that we just got that broke during Solana's interview with Eric Palms of the Orange Bowl. The Clippers and the Jazz have agreed to a sign-and-trade deal involving Russell Westbrook, who is expected to join the Nuggets after Utah waives Russ and buys out the remainder of his contract. The Clippers are sending Westbrook a second-round pick, swap, and cash to the Jazz for Chris Dunn. Russ coming off of a season in which he averaged a career low 11 points per game for the Clippers. I don't really understand the fit for the Nuggets. I don't really understand the fit for Russell Westbrook with anybody at this point in his career. It's also the second time Russell Westbrook has been traded to the Jazz and immediately been bought out. We'll get to more of that later in the show. But first, how about a former national champion head coach joining Alejandro Solana from SEC Media Days in Dallas? It's Solana talking to Kirby Smart.
Back at SEC Media Days, part of our Capital One Orange Bowl Media Tour presented by Duffy Sports Grill. And this is exciting. I have Kirby Smart, head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs, sitting across from me. I imagine... Coach, you've been peppered with questions about Nick Saban not being allowed in yesterday because of lack of credential. You have any troubles getting into SEC Media Days today?
No, I hadn't had any issues. Leland was cracking a joke. He carried it for me, though, so he made sure that I could get in.
Yeah. I think everybody here has a good idea of who Kirby Smart is. So I want to take you back to start here, a bit unorthodox from what everybody else is asking you. To 2006, we are a Miami radio station, and you coached in Miami in 2006 for a season. I believe the safeties coach, right?
Yeah, with the Dolphins.
Right. What do you remember about that experience and just living in South Florida at the time?
I loved it. I enjoyed it. Had a nice commute in each day to Davie, to the facility. We lived out in Weston, Florida, which we named our son. My 16-year-old son is named Weston. We enjoyed our time there. It was brief. It was busy because it was in season. I really enjoyed the environment of like going to work out players in the off season at all the colleges. So I felt like I got to go to USC, to UCLA, and Ohio State, and Georgia, and you're working out these kids, and it was cool for me. It was a really good experience. And then the relationships, Jason Taylor, Zach Thomas. I mean, some of the guys I coached, Ronaldo Hill, who's now a coach in the league. Yeah. I mean, it was really cool to get to know those guys and how professional they were about their business. And it wasn't like just a game. It was a business to them.
I do this show with Channing Crowder, who played at the University of Florida.
Crazy. Then,
well, I want to know if you have any stories of old Channing Crowder that you could share, or maybe off the air you could share.
Probably off the air better. He was funny because I wasn't there the first year. I think the year they drafted him, Muschamp was there, and then Muschamp left to go to Auburn. They brought Dom Capers in and brought me. I came along, so I caught Channing in his second year.
Yeah.
And his first rookie year, he was there with Will. But man, that dude was not afraid to say anything. Like around Nick, he was hilarious because, you know, the Nick that we know with college players is different than the Nick we know with pro players. And Channing was a hoot, man.
I mean, he's still the same guy.
Yep.
Same whatever he wants. I know he's sad he missed his interview, but he had to stay back in South Florida.
I hate that.
Yeah. So, speaking of 2006, when you're with the Dolphins, I believe it was Dolphin Stadium at the time, then Dolphin. They, like, took out the S. Now it's Hard Rock Stadium, and you were just there back at the turn of the year for the Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
Is it – you almost marvel at what it looked like in 2006 to now what that stadium looks like, all the advancements, the refurbishment.
Crazy.
Yeah, hosting F1, World Cup.
It messes me up because I don't even – like, I have a hard time remembering it in 06, but when I go in it now, I'm like, this is not the same place. And it's not. It's really completely different, what they've done with the hosting. And it's a beautiful venue, though. It's unbelievable. And the turf and the field is just incredible.
Was that a really cool moment for you? I know national title is always what you're after, and I know that's where you want to get back to. But was it a cool moment last year at the Orange Bowl, knowing, you know, you crossed that path and we're back there to win another big game with your program?
Yeah, it was cool. Anytime you get to go to the Orange Bowl, it's just such a great event. And we'd had Michigan there, I guess, year before that or 2 years before that, and played Michigan down there. And the Orange Bowl people are so good. The weather's so good. Our players always talk about the Orange Bowl being one of the favorite because you don't deal with the weather extremes that you do in some of the other bowl sites.
Right.
You know, you're going to get good weather down there, and they enjoyed that part.
Awesome. Again, we're talking with Kirby Smart, head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs. I guess I have to ask you the question you've been asked a million times today. Landscape has shifted in college football. You have the 12-team playoff. Is that something that, you know, changes the process for you and your staff, or is it just business as usual for your program?
Well, I do think it changes your process a little bit, the way you look at the season, in terms of not putting – I mean, it's not the end of the world if you – you have a misstep, and nobody wants to do that. Nobody plans on doing that, but you got to think differently. You got to build your team to be the best team, one of the best 12 teams at the end of the season. And it used to be almost impossible to say, okay, we've got to be in the top four. Well, now we've got to be in the top 12 at the end of the season, and we need to be hot. We need to pick the right players to advance and grow. So I think that's going to be the interesting part of the playoff.
Coach, wish you luck. Thanks again for taking the time and reminiscing a bit on your days back in Miami. I know people in South Florida are going to be very excited to hear your voice. And I've asked everybody else this, so I won't let you off the hook here. I had Whataburger for the first time, being a South Florida native. I had it for the first time yesterday, and I know there's a big rivalry, In-N-Out versus Whataburger. What's Coach Kirby Smart going with?
I'm more Zaxby's.
Zaxby's, oh yeah.
That's
yeah.
the Georgia brand.
Well,
that's my Georgia people. I got to stick with my folks, man. But Whataburger's a lot more what I'm used to, for sure.
Awesome, awesome. Coach, thank you very much for your time.
Appreciate it.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Soldier Boy, that dude wasn't in the Army.
Hawk and Crowder.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And
thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I know Jimmy normally picks the music for these shows. Is this Jimmy again picking the music?
It sure is.
Jimmy's on fire. On absolute fire right now. Before we get to Solana's conversation with Georgia head coach Kirby Smart, I don't think you'll ever hear a better interview with Kirby Smart than the one Solana did with him. Probably the most qualified person to ever interview Kirby Smart on the radio, I would argue. There is some NBA news that we just got that broke during Solana's interview with Eric Palms of the Orange Bowl. The Clippers and the Jazz have agreed to a sign-and-trade deal involving Russell Westbrook, who is expected to join the Nuggets after Utah waives Russ and buys out the remainder of his contract. The Clippers are sending Westbrook a second-round pick, swap, and cash to the Jazz for Chris Dunn. Russ coming off of a season in which he averaged a career-low 11 points per game for the Clippers. I don't really understand the fit for the Nuggets. I don't really understand the fit for Russell Westbrook with anybody at this point in his career. It's also the second time Russell Westbrook has been traded to the Jazz and immediately been bought out. We'll get to more of that later in the show. But first, how about a former national champion head coach joining Alejandro Solana from SEC Media Days in Dallas? It's Solana talking to Kirby Smart.
Back at SEC Media Days, part of our Capital One Orange Bowl Media Tour presented by Duffy Sports Grill. And this is exciting. I have Kirby Smart, head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs, sitting across from me. I imagine, Coach, you've been peppered with questions about Nick Saban not being allowed in yesterday because of lack of credential. You have any troubles getting into SEC Media Days today?
No, I hadn't had any issues. Leland was cracking a joke. He carried it for me, though, so he made sure that I could get in.
Yeah, yeah. I think everybody here has a good idea of who Kirby Smart is. So I want to take you back to start here, a bit unorthodox from what everybody else is asking you, to 2006. We are a Miami radio station, and you coached in Miami in 2006.
Sure did.
For a season, I believe the safeties coach, right?
Yeah. With the Dolphins.
Right. What do you remember about that experience and just living in South Florida at the time?
I loved it. I enjoyed it. Had a nice commute in each day to Davie, to the facility. We lived out in Weston, Florida, which we named our son. My 16-year-old son is named Weston. We enjoyed our time there. It was brief. It was busy because it was in season. I really enjoyed the environment of like going to work out players in the off season at all the colleges. So I felt like I got to go to USC, to UCLA, and Ohio State, and Georgia, and you're working out these kids, and it was cool for me. It was a really good experience. And then the relationships, Jason Taylor, Zach Thomas. I mean, some of the guys I coached, Ronaldo Hill, who's now a coach in the league. Yeah. I mean, it was really cool to get to know those guys and how professional they were about their business. And it wasn't like just a game. It was a business to them.
I do this show with Channing Crowder, who played at the University of Florida.
Crazy.
I want to know if you have any stories of old Channing Crowder that you could share, or maybe off the air you could share.
Probably off the air better. He was funny because I wasn't there the first year. I think the year they drafted him, Muschamp was there, and then Muschamp left to go to Auburn. They brought Dom Capers in and brought me. I came along, so I caught Channing in his second year.
Yeah.
In his first rookie year, he was there with Will. But man, that dude was not afraid to say anything. Like around Nick, he was hilarious because, you know, the Nick that we know with college players is different than the Nick we know with pro players. And Channing was a hoot, man.
I mean, he's still the same guy.
Yep.
Same whatever he wants. I know he's sad he missed his interview, but he had to stay back in South Florida.
I hate that.
Yeah. So, speaking of 2006, when you're with the Dolphins, I believe it was Dolphin Stadium at the time. Then Dolphin, they like took out the S. Now it's Hard Rock Stadium, and you were just there back at the turn of the year for the Orange Bowl.
Yeah,
do you almost marvel at what it looked like in 2006 to now what that stadium looks like? All the advancements, the refurbishment,
crazy.
Yeah, hosting F1,
it messes
World
me
Cup.
Up because I don't even like I have a hard time remembering it in 06, but when I go in it now, I'm like, this is not the same place, and it's not. It's really completely different what they've done with the hosting, and it's a beautiful venue though, unbelievable, and the turf and the field is just incredible.
Was that a really cool moment for you? I know national title is always what you're after, and I know that's where you want to get back to. But was it a cool moment last year at the Orange Bowl, knowing, you know, you crossed that path and we're back there to win another big game with your program?
Yeah, it was cool. Anytime you get to go to the Orange Bowl, it's just such a great event. And we had Michigan there, I guess, a year before that or 2 years before that, and played Michigan down there. And the Orange Bowl people are so good. The weather's so good. Our players always talk about the Orange Bowl being one of the favorite because you don't deal with the weather extremes that you do in some of the other bowl sites.
Right.
You know, you're going to get good weather down there, and they enjoyed that part.
Awesome. Again, we're talking with Kirby Smart, head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs. I guess I have to ask you the question you've been asked a million times today. Landscape has shifted in college football. You have the 12-team playoff. Is that something that, you know, changes the process for you and your staff, or is it just business as usual for your program?
Well, I do think it changes your process a little bit, the way you look at the season, in terms of not putting – I mean, it's not the end of the world if you have a misstep, and nobody wants to do that. Nobody plans on doing that, but you got to think differently. You got to build your team to be the best team, one of the best 12 teams at the end of the season. And it used to be almost impossible to say, okay, we've got to be in the top four. Well, now we've got to be in the top 12 at the end of the season, and we need to be hot. We need to pick the right players to advance and grow. So I think that's going to be the interesting part of the playoff.
Coach, wish you luck. Thanks again for taking the time and reminiscing a bit on your days back in Miami. I know people in South Florida are going to be very excited to hear your voice. And I've asked everybody else this, so I won't let you off the hook here. I had Whataburger for the first time, being a South Florida native. I had it for the first time yesterday, and I know there's a big rivalry, In-N-Out versus Whataburger. What's Coach Kirby Smart going with?
I'm more Zaxby's.
Zaxby's, oh, yeah.
That's the Georgia brand.
Well, that's
my Georgia people. I got to stick with my folks, man. But Whataburger's a lot more what I'm used to, for sure.
Awesome, awesome. Coach, thanks. You very much for your time.
Appreciate it.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Soldier Boy, that dude wasn't in the Army.
Hawk and Crowder.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.